Hello and welcome once again to F This Movie. The candles are lit. The music is on. My man stuff is clean. Let's F a movie.
Let's.
Joining me in tonight's effing, because everything that's worth doing is worth doing in threes, once again, is Mike Quimero. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Patrick. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm well.
No, seriously. How are you?
I'm not well.
What is it? What's wrong?
No, I'm well. I'm sorry.
Penny for your thoughts.
No, I'm good.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Thanks.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Hi, everybody. It's F This Movie. FThisMoviePodcast@gmail.com. And Horror Movie Month rages on. There are only a few days left in October, and then we can get back to talking about regular movies without murders in them. But until then, nothing but murders on F This Movie. With just a few days left in October, we have reached our goal of 100 or more entries into the F This Movie, F Horror Movies Challenge. So yay us, yay F This Movie. Thanks to everybody who participated. Thanks to anybody who watched a horror movie and wrote a 7-word review. And as is our way, we will now read a few more of our favorite entries into the F This Movie, F Horror Movies Challenge. Ciancio23, who has contributed a lot to the challenge, says, Day of the Woman, otherwise known as I Spit on Your Grave. Rape, more rape, and even more rape.
Which, favorite kind of movie.
Yeah, to some extent describes your upbringing, no?
A little bit.
Joey says, The Fly, be afraid, be very afraid of Goldblum, which I like a lot. Colleen says, House of Wax, the latest version. She couldn't be bothered to look up the year, but the remake of House of Wax. Spoilers. Paris Hilton dies. Achilles tendon scene. Ouch. And I've seen that movie, and I remember Paris Hilton dying, but I do not remember the Achilles tendon scene.
I do not either.
But I didn't really like that movie, so fuck it. Alexander says, Teeth, scariest movie a man will ever see. An excellent review of Teeth. And Wicked Weasel, who has also contributed a bunch, says, A Nightmare on Elm Street. Johnny Depp gets eaten by a bed. Spoilers for A Nightmare on Elm Street, but seriously, it's 2010, people. The future is now. So thanks, everybody, and let's keep them coming. We still have a few days left in October. Why not get to, I don't know, 120, 125, 130, 135?
140.
No, okay, 135 you're right. Is the goal. Mike, have you seen anything scary lately?
No, I saw a horror movie lately.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Mike, have you seen a horror movie lately?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What was the name of that horror movie that you saw?
It was A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Johnny Depp gets eaten by a bed?
He did. So we can move on. It was the latest version of A Nightmare on Elm Street.
The 2010 version?
The 2010
I didn't even version. Have to look up the year on that. Take that, Colleen.
The remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes, that looked good.
It was such a waste of time.
What?
And I got my hope even... I will admit the trailer got my hopes up a
bit. Because my high school was in the trailer?
Yes, because you're...
You hear that after this movie? My high school is in A Nightmare on Elm Street, so I'm kind of in A Nightmare on Elm Street, so I'm kind of famous after this movie.
I don't think you
take that, Colleen.
The trailer excited me a little bit. Reviews came in, and they were awful.
Yeah.
I still, for some reason, thought, no. Everyone must be wrong.
Well, you're a devoted fan of the series, no?
I am, but I don't think that... I don't know that that totally explains why I just felt that this movie was going to be better than it actually was. Because, I mean, I could be a fan of a franchise and recognize that it's probably going to be, you know...
Right, if it was just another Nightmare on Elm Street in the series, you still would have seen it, knowing that it was probably going to be bad.
Correct, but for some reason, I thought this would be good. Hopes up. Oh my god, it's not good at all.
No,
it's
is boring. Anything about it good?
No. I don't think anything about it is good.
I saw a side by side comparison. There was a review talking about the special effects and how much bad CGI is in the movie.
There is. I mean, the scene. I mean, They recreate a lot of the scenes from the original. And right. Okay, so the scene where I think it's Nancy that's in bed, and
that was the side by side that they did.
Okay, and it's it's off. The CGI one is way worse.
Yeah, you could tell looking at it. Yes. In the original, it's Freddy Krueger pushes through the wall to just kind of fuck with Nancy, and they used basically like a latex wall. Mm-hmm. So you can see that it's a real guy pushing through, and you can see the wall straining, and it looks neat, and it's scary.
Correct.
And now in the new one,
it's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
Yes.
Right.
It's awful. And they get, you know, Jackie Earle Haley, who I like.
Seemed like an inspired choice when they announced it.
Right. So do something with him. They don't do anything with him. They put him in makeup.
At one point, he does rip open his shirt, and he has the sweater underneath, right?
Right, like Superman.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
He grunts lines. I thought maybe when they cast him, maybe we would get some of Freddy pre-burning.
Right.
Let him act a little bit.
Like we would see where evil began? Is that what you
right,
mean?
Exactly.
Okay. But I just wish a movie would show me where evil began. I wonder if that will come up again in this podcast.
We can only hope. But yeah, they didn't do. He's completely wasted. There's no story. It just goes from one person falling asleep to another person falling asleep to another person falling asleep.
That's what makes a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, though, right?
I guess.
Dream sequences and micro naps. Again, I haven't seen the movie, but I have seen the trailer.
And micro naps.
My high school's in it, as are micro naps, as is Freddy Krueger ripping open his shirt to reveal that he's Freddy Krueger.
Right. So it's just a waste, and we may touch on it, you know, later in our discussion.
Yeah,
talk about remakes.
But it was another one of those music video directors,
right?
And maybe they should stop giving movies to those guys. Yeah. I don't know. No, that's not true, because Spike Jonze was a music video director.
Yes. Good point.
I mean, come on. I saw the movie Dolls. Have you ever seen Dolls?
I've not seen Dolls.
It fucking sucks. It's
that's the one with the on the cover is. Not surprisingly,
it's
a doll.
Yeah.
But like a girl.
Yeah, and then like part of her face is like a skull.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Stuart Gordon, so I kind of got my hopes up, because it's like, I think right after Reanimator, maybe, Stuart Gordon.
Okay.
And it's very shitty. Like, you know your movie is bad when I was watching it wishing it was Puppet Master, because that's a better movie. And I can rarely say that. I can rarely say this movie is worse than Puppet Master, but it's not good. And as I was watching it, a lot of the it's badly acted, which whatever. I was watching it thinking, is Reanimator bad in a lot of these same ways? But we overlook it because there's so much that's great about Reanimator. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because there was nothing great about Dolls, including the dolls. Which were a lot of stop motion, very terrible. And when you see a movie about dolls that kill people, you could probably come up with a lot of ways that you would like to see a doll kill a person.
Sure.
Are any of those ways that they pull out a gun and shoot a person?
No.
Because that's what the dolls do in Dolls at one point. Now, to be fair, they're little, like, toy soldier dolls, and they, like, ready, aim, fire, but still,
still that's
one
lazy.
Of your kills in Dolls is somebody being shot by a doll. So I did not enjoy Dolls.
Did you, since watching Dolls, did you go back and rewatch Reanimator to?
I have not, no. Or Puppet Master, for that matter.
Or Puppet Master.
Because at least in Puppet Master, the each little guy had his own thing.
Yes, he did.
They each had their own gimmick, and they dispatched someone. The tunneler doll drills into someone.
Yes.
That's what we want to see. And the leech girl puts leeches on someone.
Right.
And Shooty shoots someone. Oh, I'm negating what I'm sorry. Puppet Master had a guy named Shooty, and he just shot people. So I apologize, Stuart Gordon and Dolls. I revise my opinion on you. It's available on Netflix Instant.
Is that how you saw it?
It is, yeah. Okay. So you too can enjoy Dolls.
I'm midway through The Crazies right now.
The original?
No.
Oh, okay. I've never seen the original, but I saw the remake.
You liked it, right?
The remake?
Yes.
Oh, it was okay. I thought there was stuff to like about it.
Okay.
As remakes go, it's not bad.
Okay.
If you're midway, then things are still okay.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The movie doesn't really jump the tracks.
So far, so good.
Yeah, it doesn't know where to go eventually.
Okay.
But it's not a bad movie.
Okay.
Again, as remakes go. And it's crazy that we just keep talking about remakes, isn't it?
It is.
I wonder if it has anything to do with what we're talking about tonight. Honestly, you almost can't have a discussion about what horror movies have you seen lately without mentioning 15 fucking remakes. But tonight we are talking about Rob Zombie's 2007 remake slash reimagining of Halloween, a movie that is very close to your heart, correct?
Yes, it is.
You are on record as saying Halloween is your favorite horror movie?
It is, and one of my favorite
movies. I was going to say, is it your favorite movie?
It's not my favorite movie, but
because that would be
weird.
Cuffs,
right? Cuffs.
No, your favorite, yeah, Cuffs.
Cuffs
is
yeah.
your favorite movie.
Cuffs with a K.
Okay, Christian Slater as George Cuffs.
Yes.
Okay, the that's the one. Okay, from the guy who wrote and directed Mr. Brooks. That Cuffs. I'm almost out of stuff I know about Cuffs. Just kidding. That's Tony Goldwyn, Mila Jovovich. Scene
that's
where he's talking to a dog
about.
And it's subtitled. I seen Cuffs.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. I saw Cuffs the way it was meant to be seen. On the big screen, motherfuckers! Halloween is your favorite horror movie.
It is my favorite horror
movie. So when you found out they were remaking Halloween, your reaction was?
That this is inevitable,
yeah.
But I'm not... I was not happy about it. But to be honest, when I found out it was Rob Zombie, I was given some glimmer of hope. Because knowing what I know about Rob Zombie from seeing House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects was that he at least... has a love of the genre, has a love of that time period, 70s horror. I figured he would understand the material. I mean, he's not a music video director. In
right.
That, you know, he's not just...
But he is a musician.
Well,
he's been in music videos.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, he is a music video director, I guess, because
right.
I think he directed all of his...
The White Zombie videos?
The White Zombie videos.
Those videos are memorable.
Right. My point is, he will be concerned about more than just... You know how cool it looks, and
right.
Yeah. So as much as I was hoping they wouldn't remake it, I figured they would. And if anyone's going to do it, I guess I was happy it was going to be Rob Zombie.
Okay. So. And then you saw the 2007 remake of Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and your feelings about it were
that it was awful.
Okay.
And all my worst fears were realized for a number of reasons. I don't know if you just want me to.
Fuck it, let's get into this.
Okay.
Let's F the shit out of this thing.
Okay. First and foremost, and this is a trend in a lot of these remakes, is they need to show where evil begins. They need to explain...
See what happened?
They need
see where evil begins.
They need to explain to us why these monsters or villains that we grew up loving, why they do the things that they do.
Right.
So that's, you know... So the movie, Rob Zombie's version, starts out with Michael Myers as a kid in this awful environment, this horrible environment. And I think what that offends me on a number of levels. But one of them being, okay, if while I don't want to see where he came from.
Right.
If you're going to show me where he came from, if you went outside right now, pulled five...
It's kind of cold outside.
Also, all right, if it were warmer outside,
okay,
and you
so grab, like August,
let's say it's mid August.
Mid August.
You walk outside. There. Why do I say anything? if you were to grab five people on a warm day outside and say, "All right,
tell me where evil began."
Right, like a person like Michael Myers, a 10-year-old
yeah.
who slaughters his family. How would you guess he was raised? I bet you 5 out of 5 of them would tell you exactly what Rob Zombie gave us. And that makes
right.
it so much less interesting. You know what I mean?
I agree. And there's some big picture stuff that I want to not counter what you're saying, but address. But we can
oh,
get
please.
Into that later. No. We'll talk about that later because I don't know that I have such a problem with approaching the movie the way he did. As much of a problem as you did. But it's still problematic for 10 different reasons. But let me just say this. If the point of your movie is to show where evil began, and like you say, it's to show that he comes out of this terrible environment with William Forsythe as his stepdad, constantly threatening to skull fuck his mom, and a white trash slutty sister, and a mom who's a stripper and also is Sherry Moon Zombie, which isn't great for anyone. So it's a terrible situation, and it's a Rob Zombie movie, so everyone looks like a member of the Manson family, and no one shaves, and everyone needs to wash their hair or get a haircut, and there's dirt everywhere.
And everyone says, fuck every other
a
word.
Lot, yeah. It's just the first 10 minutes of this movie are just a lot of cursing. So that's the environment, right? And on the one hand, I guess we're supposed to think this is what makes a killer. But the first time we even see him, he's like torturing animals and killing animals. So that suggests that he's a sociopath from birth, right?
And do they correct me if I'm wrong, don't they maybe even point that out in the movie? I mean, now that you're saying that, I feel like maybe Dr. Loomis says that maybe not.
If they don't say it in Halloween, they definitely say it in Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's sequel to Halloween.
Maybe that's what
they definitely make the case that, like, no, he was destined to be a murderer and a killer, and so his environment plays no role in it. So why give us both, you know?
Could his environment have played a role in him killing animals?
I don't know.
It just seems
like, why not go with one or the other?
Okay.
If that's your point. If your point is, let's see how evil began. Show us a fucked up kid in a normal setting, which I guess is kind of what the John Carpenter's movie did. Or show us a normal kid in a fucked up setting and tell us that this is what makes him a killer. I don't know that I buy that argument, but like, go with one or the other, because instead you get a fucked up kid in a fucked up setting. Like,
well, I always got, you know, we saw him, you know, he's killing animals and torturing animals because of his fucked up setting.
Okay.
I mean, that's just what I...
But again, either in that movie or in the second movie, they definitely make the case that, like, he was always going to be a killer.
Okay. Whatever. Then that...
This is one of the issues I have with Rob Zombie's Halloween, is that it can't quite make up its mind what it is.
To go back to what I was talking about briefly.
Yes.
In the very first Halloween, and maybe this is just me, but, you know, you see, it opens up, you know, it's young Michael's point of view. He kills his sister, and then he walks outside, and his parents are there, and they're dressed up. They've probably been to a party or something. And it's a nice house, and he doesn't tell you a lot, but to me, he tells you, or he doesn't show you a lot, but he tells you a lot with how little he showed. Did that make any sense at all?
Yeah.
Here's this like cute kid who seemingly lives in a nice neighborhood with, you know, nice parents who aren't threatening to skull fuck each other.
Right.
And that's way scarier to me.
Right, because it's smart and subtle and lets you figure things out.
Exactly.
And lets you fill things in.
Right.
And that's why John Carpenter's Halloween is a masterpiece and Rob Zombie's Halloween is a mess.
Correct.
So, you hate that opening.
I do.
Continue.
I hate... I'm just jumping all over the place. Much of the casting.
Okay.
The
central casting or the stunt casting?
No, I'm kind of geeky. I don't mind the stunt casting that much.
Yeah, I don't either. Because even if you don't like the movie, you're like, hey, there's Ken Foray. Hey, there's Mickey Dolenz.
Right.
You know, hey, there's Sybil Danning. Like, it's fun to see those people. Because, again, as a horror movie fan, you know that Rob Zombie is, too, because he puts all these people in his movie.
Right. I was trying to figure out how to say this without just sounding like an asshole, but I hate the kid.
Okay.
Who plays Michael Myers?
Yeah.
I think he's not a very good actor, and I think that Rob Zombie's giving him, you know, tries giving him material that should require a better performance.
Sure.
It definitely loses something in his performance.
Sure.
And then, and this is what I feel bad about, but like just physically, he's just an ugly fat little girl, and like. So I just
but I will say to Rob Zombie's credit.
Oh please, I go ahead.
What?
No. I was gonna say like I you don't even have to defend it. I realize that I probably sound like an asshole, and this is me.
Listen,
just my weird.
From the moment I pressed record, you have sounded like an asshole. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
No, but to Rob Zombie's credit, I mean, it works that he's odd looking and sort of unpleasant, and I don't want to rip on this kid because whatever, but like. Too often, you know, fucked up outcasts in movies look like Ally Sheedy in The Breakfast Club. Like, oh, so you combed her hair forward and put some eyeliner on her and now she's a misfit. Like, no, it's fucking Ally Sheedy.
Right.
So at least we get a kid that you don't normally see in movies and you're like, I don't particularly like looking at him.
Right.
And that's right for the character, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know that I agree that that's right for the character, at least not the character that I...
Okay. Now here's where we need to get into the central, not the central argument of this show, but I mean, there's obviously a disconnect between, like, the original movie and this movie.
Yes.
And you almost can't compare the
two. I know.
You can't necessarily say, like, I want him to be more like the kid in John Carpenter's movie. Because this is its own movie. The original exists. This is what it is. Now, I'm not saying this movie works on its own, because even on its own, this movie's a mess. But, you know, you still have to sort of take it on its terms, correct?
Correct. I completely agree. I'm not necessarily saying I want it's because of that kid in the original.
Right.
Like I'm yearning for to see that kid
right.
in you that, just that want role. A more normal I understand. Kid? I get to me that's way it's just again, it's
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah. No, it's, I see what you're saying.
It's scarier to me when it's the boy next door as opposed to the boy on the other side of the tracks and that the kid in Rob Zombies is a boy on the other side of the track. So everything makes sense in my head. So that's much less scary and much less unsettling to me. If it doesn't make sense, if it doesn't fit perfectly, then that's it works much better for me. It's much scarier. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And here's again, the overriding problem with Rob Zombie's Halloween. And when I saw this movie, I didn't hate it as much as you did. I didn't necessarily like it, but I was fascinated by it, and I remain fascinated by it because I really like Rob Zombie. As a person, not that I've met him, why won't you call me Rob? But just, you know, hearing interviews with him or reading about him or whatever. And I did like his first two movies, as messy as House of a Thousand Corpses was. When I saw that movie, I was like, ooh, that kind of unsettled me. Mm-hmm. And then Devil's Rejects is obviously kind of great, and everybody thinks so. So it's way more fashionable to say you like Devil's Rejects. So I like Rob Zombie, so maybe I'm being something of an apologist, but I saw the movie and I couldn't for the life of me figure out, it kept me awake at night because I laid there trying to figure out what was he attempting? What did he want to do? Because here's the thing about Halloween. The first half of the movie, he's interested in exploring where evil began, right? And that's the part that you're like, what? I don't fucking care. Because you're right. In the first movie, it's way scary that you don't know anything about him. He's just this guy. He does what he does. He's the boogeyman. He has no backstory. We don't know anything.
Right.
And I agree. But, okay, Rob Zombie's interested in doing a different thing. And so we have to approach the movie for what it is, not for what it isn't. And what it is the story of Michael Myers. It's not the story of a town being attacked by a boogeyman. It's the story of the guy who becomes the boogeyman. Okay. Not necessary. And certainly not necessary to be Halloween. Like, call it Phil the Murderer, and make it about Phil. You know, you don't need to call it Halloween. It doesn't have to take place in Haddonfield. You want to make a movie about how a kid becomes a serial killer? Great, do that. It's almost this movie. Why make it Halloween? And then it doesn't make sense. But at least it's a significant departure, because like you said about A Nightmare on Elm Street, what's the fucking point?
Oh, I completely agree.
You know, and even last week we did a show about Let the Right One In and Let Me In. Mm-hmm. And Let Me In is a good movie, I think, but I mean, it's so fucking similar. It's like,
what's the point?
The difference is that it's in English, you know?
Right.
So at least Rob Zombie is like, well, I'm taking a significant departure from the original and I'm doing this thing. I've almost lost sight of where I'm going. Okay, so the first half of the movie is he's a kid becoming a killer, right?
Which, if I could just interrupt really quick, the first time I saw it, I completely admit I'm comparing it to the original. I'm pissed off because I don't want to know anything
right.
about him. So
right.
I was a big baby about it. But when I just rewatched it, I came down a little more on the side that you just said that. Well, at least you know what? No, I appreciate that he's trying something new. And if he could do something interesting with it, I mean, that is interesting. A 10-year-old that slaughters his family, you know, maybe it would be interesting to see him. To see how that started, him in the hospital, them trying to treat him.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I came around there. It's the execution that I have a problem with.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
But where the movie jumps off the rails for me, and not even that the first half works, but again, it's something different.
Yes.
Is that at about the midway point, it switches to not a shot for shot, but almost a scene for scene remake of like the second half of John Carpenter's Halloween.
Right.
And now I don't understand the point at all, because you've spent all this time distancing yourself from the original by doing something wildly different, and now in the second half, you're just going to remake Halloween, but with, like, way more brutal violence.
And at a much quicker pace.
Yes.
Like, you know, nothing gets set up. Nothing.
Right.
No,
and it removes any of the tension
right.
or scares, for lack of a better word, for just brutal force. And that's Rob Zombie's wheelhouse, and that's his big thing. He's not really interested in scaring you so much as, like, fucking you up with how brutally violent his movies are. Okay, fine. Does that need to be Halloween? Again, no. But so that's what I don't understand. And then the second half of the movie, you know, for lack of a better word, Michael Myers is the protagonist for the first half of the movie. He's the guy we're following. And then all of a sudden in the second half, he disappears.
Right.
And he's this outside force like he is in the John Carpenter version. And we're, I guess, supposed to identify with the three babysitters. But who the fuck are they? And why do we care? What happened to the kid we were following?
Right.
And I think if he had followed through all the way, you know, ultimately people would be talking about how it's Halloween from the point of view of Michael Myers. But that's already, a movie.
Right. You know? It's already more interesting.
Than, right. Yeah. And so like you're saying, it's not scary to me necessarily to know what caused this or where he came from or any of that shit. I agree with you, but like maybe he wouldn't be going for that kind of scary. Maybe it's just this idea that this is possible, that a kid can turn into this, that, you know, we both have kids. It's fucked up to anytime you hear a story about a kid who does something horrible in the news, you're like, well, at some point they were just a 1 year old who didn't have any of this. Exactly. Right. And what happened to them? And so at least maybe the movie's exploring that. And again, if it wasn't Halloween, or even if it was Halloween, but from the point of view of Michael Myers, I could get on board with it a little more. But the fact that it's so disconnected, its two halves are so separate, I don't get. Your turn.
Agreed. Okay. you still struggle with that then, obviously.
Yes. All right. Because I don't understand what he was trying to do. And the sequel cleared it up for me a little bit. Not what he was trying to do, but I think the sequel is a better picture, a better representation of what he was trying to do. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's stay on the original for now.
Okay. I don't disagree with anything you just said. And I specifically watching this movie this last time, I really got the exact same feeling that he just, the second half of the movie, it's like he's just retelling.
Right.
Halloween is just more rushed, and we're asked to care about these characters that he has spent no time on, because again, like you just said, he's, you know, spent the first half of the movie we're with one character, then all of a sudden, like,
right.
Oh, I hear these babysitters and they say fuck a lot, and
yeah, right.
And
none of them are particularly well acted, with the exception of Danielle Harris, who I think does an okay job and is stunt casting, but it works. And I'll have more to say about her when we talk about the sequel.
Okay.
Because I have a real problem with that whole thing. But whatever. Okay. So watching it a second time, your opinion didn't really change on it. You still hate it. As its own movie or as a remake of Halloween?
I don't hate it because I don't hate it because yes, he did try doing something and it isn't, you know, like the remake of Friday the 13th, which is boring and terrible and doesn't give us anything new.
Right. It's and that movie gets a pass from horror people.
I don't get that at all.
It does its job in that it shows us Jason Voorhees and he kills people, and apparently that's all we're supposed to expect, and we're supposed to be happy with that.
Then why not call it Friday 13th Part 11?
Right, and that's basically all it is. And if they had, maybe I would have been more forgiving of it.
I think I definitely would have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at least Rob Zombie tried doing something with it. I just don't. I'm not a fan of what he did.
Okay.
Yeah, really, at all.
Because of the origin story, or any of it?
Again, I've come around a little bit. It's not that he did an origin story, although I prefer that he didn't, but okay, he did. I just don't like the execution. And you know what? If I wish somebody else would have written it.
Okay. Fewer fucks, you mean?
Yeah, fewer fucks. Yeah. Maybe somebody else, if somebody else had cast it.
Yeah.
I don't know how involved he was in the casting.
He seems pretty involved. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I really tried. I wanted, especially this last time around, I really wanted to like it. And I wanted to do it very positive. Like, you know what? I gotta stop being a baby and comparing it to the original and blah, 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 blah. But I think I was able to separate the two movies and I still on its own.
It's
brutal and it's ugly. And,
yeah. And again, it's hard to watch, and there's a line, I think, between sort of brutality and just mean-spiritedness, and the movie crosses back and forth, I think. Sometimes it's like, oh, that's effective, and horrible because, again, Rob Zombie, you know, a lot of horror movies, even like the Friday the 13th movies or the remake, we watch them and they're violent, but like they're fun.
Yes.
It's goofy violence, and that's what we're excited about. We're like, we want to see Jason kill people in crazy inventive ways. So the violence isn't necessarily mean-spirited, although the remake of Friday the 13th, I think it kind of is, but whatever. Rob Zombie violence is never fun. It's
no.
always awful. And at least, you know, he's saying, okay, I'm going to make a horror movie. Well, this is fucking horrifying. And I would give him even more credit for sort of pushing the boundaries of violence and making us react to something that's super unpleasant if I didn't also kind of think in the back of my mind, he thinks it's cool. That
yeah.
he's not doing it to sort of make a point about movie violence, that that's just part of his aesthetic, and he thinks it's kind of neat.
And that would bother me.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
So
where I thought it got mean and cruel, I mean, I'm sure that's the point, and I'm reacting the way he wants me to react, but when Michael Myers kills the Danny Trejo character,
yeah,
I understand he's trying to tell us something by, you know, here's a guy who sort of looked after Michael for all these years, and Michael could care less. He's a machine,
right.
and he kills him
right.
fine. But the way he kills him,
yeah,
how long it takes,
yeah.
like that's where I thought he crossed that line and just became cruel
yeah.
and unpleasant. And again, maybe that's absolutely the point, and I'm reacting the way
I
he
think,
wanted me.
I think
to
it
react.
Is. I didn't actually hit that moment until again, spoilers for Halloween. Sorry, everybody.
Oh yeah.
Until he killed the parents.
Oh, yeah. Another example.
Because it didn't need to happen.
It
Not that he needed to kill Danny Trejo, but, like, he's breaking out of the asylum.
He was in the way.
He was in the way.
Right.
The parents aren't in the way.
Completely agree.
He goes and seeks them out, only to just murder them in a horrible way. And it just felt like he was introducing characters at that point just to be murdered.
Correct.
And that, to me, felt gratuitous.
Yeah, I mean, you can maybe argue that plays a part in Halloween 2.
Sure,
where,
sure.
You know,
sure.
Where Lori
and
goes,
maybe he
but...
had an endgame in mind. I don't know. I can't imagine he did. But,
I agree. I just think that the you know Danny Trejo death, if he had just, you know, when he was pleading with Michael trying to put the cuffs on him and he just, you know, snapped his neck and he was dead, that would have been shocking, would have told us what we needed to know
right.
In that moment about Michael Myers, but the way he killed him, and
yeah,
how drawn out
it
was, and he tries drowning him, and it doesn't
right.
work, so he takes a TV and throws it on his head. I just, oh.
If nothing else, and again, I don't particularly like the movie, but I can't say I dislike it, because I'm fascinated by it. And I do,
right.
I am interested in watching it every once in a while. You know, I've seen it more than once, because every once in a while I'm like, I want to put that on again, maybe to study it, or maybe just because I like Rob Zombie movies. But I do find myself watching it, so I can't say I hate it. And if nothing else, I will say, you know, there are so few, especially now, sort of horror movie auteurs, singular visions in horror. There's a couple, you know, Eli Roth, you could say, is sort of one, or I would have said Alexander Aja was one, but the 1-2 punch of Mirrors and Piranha 3D. They're very different movies, but they don't tell me who he is as a director as much. And I liked Piranha 3D. But, you know, most horror movies now are assigned to music video directors,
yep.
people with no vision. And even if you don't like Halloween, you could say, well, he's got a fucking vision.
I
you
agree.
Know? And again, that's the disconnect, because the second half, even though it still feels like a Rob Zombie movie, it's not his vision, really. It's like his take on what John Carpenter already did, and I would have much rather seen his vision all the way through.
I read a quote from him where he said he felt very felt a lot of pressure on the first Halloween to stay true to the original.
And
movie.
You can feel that.
Yes, you can.
And it's like
it made a lot of sense to
some,
me.
It's like somebody made a compromise with it. Okay, listen, Rob. You can have the first.
Yeah.
You can have the first half.
Right.
That's yours. You do whatever. You want to show us where evil began? You want to show us the fucking kid from Spy Kids get beat to death with a stick? Okay, I get it. But the second half is ours, and you're going to fucking show some babysitters, and they're going to take their tops off, and they're going to die.
Exactly.
There was an indication when we first saw it, and we saw it the night it opened. I wanted to like it, but when we first hear the iconic John Carpenter score.
I was going to get to that.
It's really the first indication that, like, oh, he might not know what he's doing.
Right.
Because instead of it being the scene where he does kill his first person, he beats a kid to death savagely. with like a stick, right?
Yep.
And that might be an appropriate place to play the music because For sure. It's effective, and B, it's saying, hey, remember that Michael Myers music? This is Michael Myers. See, he's acting like Michael Myers, and you get it. But instead, when do they play the music for the first time?
They play the music when he's outside of the principal's office.
Yeah.
And he looks around awkwardly
right.
to see if anyone's around. They play the music, and then he awkwardly runs down a hallway.
Right. And that's when we hear the Halloween score.
Yeah. No, I was going to bring that up. Because this is going to sound very geeky of me, but I was so pissed he fucked both of these things up. The first time we hear the score and the first time we see the mask bummed me out.
The first time we see the mask, he's still a kid, right?
Yeah.
He's wearing that giant oversized mask.
Yes. And it's his sister's goofy boyfriend puts it on
right.
when they're about to bang.
Right.
And it was just so anticlimactic.
Yeah. Again, you have these iconic things, and why not find a way that sort of pays tribute to them?
Yes.
Unless, again, maybe Rob Zombie is a crazy genius, and he's like, guess what? I'm going to undercut all that shit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You know?
I'm going to play the Halloween theme at the most banal moment. A kid running down a hallway, here's the Halloween music, fuckers.
What makes me laugh is the Halloween theme in Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 isn't used until the end of the movie because he said he couldn't find the right moments to use it.
There was no one running down a hallway in Halloween 2.
Right, when I read that, I was like... almost
is in the hospital. In the beginning, when Laurie's running in the hospital, play the music.
That's right.
Or even someone like walking down a hallway in their house. I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bathroom. It could work, is all I'm saying.
You're right.
All right, so let's get into Halloween 2. Because, so Rob Zombie's hands are tied on Halloween because he has to pay tribute to the original.
Right.
The movie makes a bunch of money to the chagrin of many. And Miramax says, we're going to make a Halloween 2. And Rob Zombie kind of says, well, I'm not so much interested in doing that. I'd said half of what I needed to say in half of that movie. And Miramax, or Dimension rather, says, well, fuck you, we're doing it anyway. It's probably going to go straight to video, and we're going to hire some dipshit. We're going to hire Guy Magar is going to make Halloween 2, okay? And
thank you for that reference.
So Rob Zombie says, all right, listen, I did commit something to this. This does mean something to me. I'll make Halloween 2. So he does. And in Halloween 2, the gloves are off, and he's not really restricted. Halloween 2 is in no way a remake of Halloween 2. The original sequel to the original movie,
right.
If that gets confusing. Although there is a scene in a hospital.
Right, which I kind of liked.
Yeah, right. Although it does play that stupid fucking game, which it goes on for 20 minutes, and then there's a reveal, and it's like, what? This is what I spent 20 minutes investing in?
Agreed.
Halloween 2, to me, is much more the movie that Rob Zombie is trying to make. And that doesn't make it a better movie necessarily, although I would argue that maybe it does, because that movie still is also a fucking mess.
It is.
But it's, a fascinating mess. And now you just recently saw Halloween 2.
I did.
And your reactions to it were?
Very similar to what you just said. I thought it was fascinating. And maybe a better movie than the first one. I think a lot of it doesn't work, but even the stuff that doesn't work, I appreciate him for even attempting. I mean, there's, you know, Michael is, he's now, it starts out taking place, you know, right where the first one left off. So, spoilers, he's still alive. And he escapes from, you know, the two guys.
The ambulance,
two guys pick him up to take him to the morgue, and right. he escapes from that truck. So I believe it's for the next 2 years, he's living like a mountain man, almost.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's got like...
How far away do they drive him?
Well, yeah, that's...
It seems to take him a long time to get back to Haddonfield.
That's
like
true.
It's like he's leaving the Shire and going to Mount Doom. Because it's just a shot after shot of him crossing these open fields. How far did they... Where's the fucking morgue?
Right, I agree, but...
It's all in the same town, isn't it? Is it really 2 years? How did I not realize that?
Yeah, I think it's...
Wow.
It's 2 years later that that we see him again. He's got long hair, long beard. It's, you know, he's been like living off the land. I just thought that alone.
Living off the dogs.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, living off the dogs. Which, yeah, we see for the first time. I read on like Wikipedia that's the first Halloween movie where we see Michael Myers actually eating.
Yeah.
Which is...
Finally.
Right?
See how evil eats. That was the tagline, I think, for Halloween 2. yeah, it's very much, again...
So I thought that was interesting.
Right.
To see him, you see him without a mask, you see him...
Right.
I found all that fascinating. He has these visions of his mother...
And a white horse.
And a white horse.
Which we get... explained to us via text in the opening of the movie is just white horse, and then it explains what a white horse represents.
Right, and then he's visited by, you know, the a vision of himself as a little kid.
Right, played by a different child actor, yes, so Mike is not disturbed by that fat, ugly little freak.
Freak girl. So yeah, and while I read a lot of stuff where people said that's just pretentious crap and it doesn't work. Yeah. And maybe yes, but again, I liked the effort.
Thanks for going for it. Exactly.
I just thought it was very interesting. And I thought much of the movie was, and it's still ugly and brutal, but it didn't feel as ugly and as brutal to me. And maybe I think I'm in the minority with that because a lot of the crap I read about it said like, oh, he really upped up. Okay.
Yeah. Rob Zombie upped up the dog eating Halloween 2.
He amped up the violence and the brutality, but I didn't feel it.
Oh, really? See, I think I did. I think it's a more violent movie, but I think it's also about the tone. Like, even if it's not, even if we're not actually seeing more violence, it feels more violent because it's less sort of slick than the first movie. Not that you can really call a Rob Zombie movie slick, but it's just shot on that fucking shitty 16mm. Just everything's grainy and horrible. And so even if it's not necessarily more violent, you know, shot for shot, it feels more unpleasant.
True.
But again, like you said, I appreciate that, like, it is a singular vision and he goes for it. The stuff with the mom and the white horse, I don't understand. Because not only is it pretentious nonsense, and we can agree on that, sure. But like, A, it's again negating what he's saying in the first movie that evil is made, not born, and now it's saying, no, it's born, he was always going to be this way.
Correct.
His family's destiny, not just his own, but his family's destiny is one of violence and murder. Everyone in his bloodline is destined to be a fucking killer. So that doesn't make sense. But also it suggests that his mom is this wide-eyed psychopath, and she's not.
No.
In the first movie. She's distraught about what's happened to her son to the point where, spoilers, she commits suicide because her whole family has been wiped out. She's lost her son to madness, and it tears her up and she kills herself. So now all of a sudden she's this thing like, kill Michael, kill.
See, I always read it though that's Michael.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It's not actually his mom. It's his weird projection of his mom.
Right.
Yes. So Halloween 2 is great. And
thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yay! F this movie! Okay. What I like about Halloween 2, aside from its own just batshit wackiness, is that it does pick up where the last movie left off, not just chronologically, but like... Most horror movies, horror sequels, are just interested in sort of in repeating the first movie. Here's a new group of people, and they die, and then this shit happens at the end, and then the killer is dispatched or whatever. But this takes all the same characters and, like, checks in on them. Where are they 2 years later, and how have they been impacted by what happened in the first movie? And I think that's really interesting, because horror sequels rarely do that.
Right.
Follow the same characters and acknowledge that what has happened has affected them, right. And it has affected them in different ways.
Right, right. It's affected everybody.
Right.
And yes, in different ways. Like, you know, Dr. Loomis, he made him, I guess he wanted to base it off one of the lawyers in the Charles Manson case, mm-hmm. Wrote a book right afterwards and
kind of became a media star.
Right. You know, he cashed in on the tragedy. So,
And that stuff doesn't really work, but again, I appreciate that He's trying to do something, but it's badly written, very badly acted.
It is. That the scene with where he's on the Chris Hardwick talk show with Weird Al is just
But at least there's a Weird Al appearance.
Well, true.
Because it's a Rob Zombie movie, and anything goes.
It's true.
It was fun to see Caroline Williams in the hospital sequence at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's great.
And I like Chris Hardwick, but I'm just saying that scene didn't...
Yeah, no. Lori, played by the extremely talented Scout Taylor Compton, who is bad in the first movie and even worse in the second, has become, you know, she's acting out, and she's this punk chick now who's obsessed with just alternative lifestyle and all this shit. And that doesn't make sense. I can't believe that she would have... Charles Manson above her bed.
I agree.
Somebody whose family was murdered, who's just been subject to, you know, serial killing and all this shit. That now she, what, worships Charles Manson? It doesn't make a lot of sense, but whatever. Again, Rob Zombie unfortunately has only one aesthetic, and every character on screen is essentially just a projection of Rob Zombie.
Right.
What I did like in the second one is Danielle Harris as Annie.
Yes.
And my problem with Halloween 2, and again, if you haven't seen the Halloween remake, we've already spoiled a bunch for you. If you haven't seen Halloween 2, I'm going to spoil some pretty significant things, though not everything. So if you do want to see it, I do suggest you check it out, because you haven't seen another movie like it, and that's always worth something. But I'm going to spoil some stuff here, so I apologize. My problem with Halloween 2 is that it's written in such a way, and particularly acted in such a way, that it should be Annie's movie. And it's not. We're sticking with Lori because she's the kid, you know, she's Michael's sister or whatever. But Annie is the real survivor in all this. And she was attacked in the first movie and beaten within an inch of her life, but she survived. And she's scarred physically and mentally. She's afraid to go outside. She has scars on her face. She has this great relationship with her dad, and I liked all that stuff. But she's like a survivor. And the way she's treated in this movie is unforgivable, I think. I think if you really want to depart from the original series, kill off Lori. Like, Lori is a basket case. Lori is obsessed with Charles Manson and shit. Well, guess what? You want to idolize this violent life? This is the way it ends for you. Kill her off and make it Annie's movie, because she's a better actress. She's a more interesting character. And I felt like the movie was at odds with itself, because it should have gone that way, and it doesn't.
You think she's treated horribly just overall? Like, I mean, like, treated horribly by Rob Zombie, or treated horribly by the characters, I guess, through Rob Zombie? I mean, like,
So by Rob Zombie. Here's the big spoiler. He kills her.
Right, which Annie I was not dies. Happy about.
No. Don't almost kill her in the first movie. Right. Make her survive, only to kill her in the next one.
Agreed.
She's a survivor. Let her win. Let her come out ahead. And ultimately, the reason, I think, for doing it is because Rob Zombie really wanted to close the book on his Halloween series. He did not want them making another sequel based on his characters. So he does some things that really wrap it up. Like, guess what? You're not going to make another movie with Lori or Dr. Loomis or Annie or anybody. So from that perspective, okay, I guess he had to kill her. But it's inexcusable to me.
No, I completely agree. I was taken aback by how compelling she was in this movie, and right. how she's wasted in the first one. I wish we could have seen more of that.
But again, I think there's a sort of an interesting disconnect between the way that she is in the first movie and the way she is in the second.
Yeah, for
she's
sure.
This cavalier, kind of that's promiscuous, true. Carefree, swearing, fucking around with her friends, and then she goes through this experience, and now she's this shut-in, and that's interesting, you
it
know?
Is interesting.
And you don't normally see that in a horror movie series.
Right.
So it's a tradition in horror movies, unfortunately, to kill off anyone who survives the previous movies, and it's a tradition I can never get behind, ever.
Right.
Every once in a while, I guess, if the movie's really earned it and there's tremendous impact, okay. But, like, to see, spoilers for Friday the 13th Part 2, but to see Alice killed in the first 5 minutes of Friday the 13th Part 2, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Why? Right. Why? Hostel Part 2 does it. We talked last time about how all the Saw movies do it. I mean, if they get out of the movie, let them go. They made it. And so I don't like when they kill
off. How about Nancy in the Nightmare on Elm Street series?
No, it's fucking inexcusable. Yeah. It is. to bring her back two movies later and then to have her go out like that. She lived. She's the winner. She won. Let her go. Again, if there's some sort of tremendous emotional impact, and I can't really think of an example where that's the case.
No.
I mean,
I'm trying to think.
Right. Maybe Randy in Scream 2. Not that there's that much of an impact, but it's like, okay, at least it's kind of a curveball.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, maybe no one is safe. Okay, right. I'll give you that. But for the most part, I think it's just lazy. It's just, it's cynical, you know?
It is. How did I saw the director's cut, I guess.
Yes.
So how did the theatrical cut?
Okay, big spoilers for Halloween 2, because, again, the version that's out on DVD and Blu-ray is very different. The theatrical cut just ends sort of Laurie, she's in that shed. She puts on the mask. She goes outside. You think she's going to be gunned down. Or maybe before she goes outside.
She puts on his mask?
Yeah. She takes it off, I think. And it's like, oh, she maybe is going to go insane. She's going to, you know, assume the legacy of Michael Myers. But then she doesn't. But you get the feeling that, like, she's crazy now. But not dead.
Okay.
And how does the director's cut end? Again, spoilers for Halloween 2.
It ends with her... She gets stabbed by Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Loomis and Michael. There's a shot where Michael is seemingly dead on the ground. Loomis is dead, and Laurie is, you think, might be dead, but then it cuts to her in a like hospital room. It's this long hallway, so mm-hmm. it looks like a dream, and she's sitting on a bed. It looks like the end of Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, how Norman Bates, you know, is sitting down and looking crazy, and he gets that little smirk on his mm-hmm. face. Like, that's the last shot. But she's like, sitting on the bed. Again, this is long hallway. Everything's completely, you know, washed out. Everything's white. And here comes her mother and the horse
right
down the hallway. And then I believe it cuts back to her. She has, like, a little smirk, and then it...
Well, maybe that's how the theatrical cut ended. For some reason, I had in my head that the director's cut ended with her dying.
Maybe I'm the idiot and I watched.
I don't think the theatrical cut exists. I don't know. Anybody who knows the answer to this, fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Because now that you're saying that, I feel like that's what I saw in the theater. That it was very much like, oh, now she's crazy.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, she's exactly. The new Michael or whatever. But I really thought, for some reason, because he didn't want any more sequels being made, that he killed off Laurie. And I don't know why I thought that.
Laurie's not dead at the end of the one I saw.
Okay. Well, shit. Maybe I need to rewatch it. I don't know.
They're going to make a third.
I heard that. But it's on hold now, I think. They were going to make one in 3D. A third one. It was going to be 3D. And the dude who did My Bloody Valentine 3D was going to do it. But now I think he's doing something else.
Okay.
Oh, he's doing like Drive Angry or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So. You're right. We'll see if they make another one. And you know what? If they go, like, if they get rid of Michael Myers and they take the original approach, like, remake fucking Season of the Witch. That's a movie I want to see. Because Season of the Witch has some interesting ideas, but it's a terrible, crazy movie.
Right.
And that's a remake I would see. Like, take what works about that and turn it into something. Although I'd almost want to see Rob Zombie remake Season of the Witch, to be honest.
I can't imagine, though, they would... make a Halloween movie without Michael Myers.
No, they're not going to, because that's what's on the poster. That's right. What you sell.
Exactly.
And that fucking sucks. And then Rob Zombie was going to remake The Blob.
Right.
Which is a terrible idea for a number of reasons. One, stop remaking movies, Rob Zombie. We get it, because your approach to remaking movies is take the original and then make everyone dirty and curse a lot. But also, there's already a remake of The Blob, and right. It's fucking awesome. There's an example of a remake that is far superior to the original, I think. The remake of The Blob is terrific. And there aren't many instances of remakes that are better than the original, I don't think.
That would be another good podcast.
Yeah. The Fly. The Thing.
Yes, and yes.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Because right. I like, again, he has a skin condition.
Right.
And I like knowing that. I like knowing that.
And a name, too.
See, yeah, right. What was his name?
Thomas.
I think you're right. I think it's Thomas. Oh. Which they should have called him instead of Leatherface.
Right.
Look out. Here comes Thomas. See, to me, that's a little different than what Rob Zombie was doing. Like you say, I don't need to know the origins. And, like, in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, What we're joking about, audience, the unfamiliar audience, is that in the shitty Platinum Dunes, Michael Bay produced remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre that I really don't like, but another one that gets kind of a pass. Horror fans seem okay with that movie.
Do they?
I much prefer Rob Zombie's Halloween to that or Friday the 13th.
I completely agree.
There's an explanation that Leatherface wears this mask made of human skin because he has this degenerative skin condition that made his nose fall off or some shit. And that, to me, is so stupid because that is just this throwaway, well, people will want to know why he's wearing the thing, and let's just include this. At least what Rob Zombie is doing, I know you're saying you don't need to know the origin, but like at least he decided to build his whole movie around that idea.
It's not just
a throwaway like Loomis saying, well, Michael Myers had a terrible childhood and his stepdad threatened to skull fuck his mom and that kind of thing, you know?
Right. What did you think of Loomis in the...
it's really bad. I mean, Malcolm McDowell is an actor who's capable of giving a good performance, but you really have to keep an eye on him because most of the time he'll do something terrible. Mm-hmm. And mostly he does things that are terrible.
I agree.
Again, I appreciate that they try and take his character in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And what I also like about Halloween 2 over Halloween 1 is that it follows all of the characters almost equally.
Yes.
Whereas the first movie, it's Michael's story for half, and then the teenager's story.
Yeah.
And this, it sort of gives everybody equal time, and you don't usually see that in a horror movie either, where the murderer is sort of a character who gets screen time instead of just popping up to kill people.
Yes.
You know, as much as the other characters. And so it's this story about this group of people, you know, which includes a murderer. That was interesting, I thought.
I agree.
Halloween 2, yay, Halloween nay, or both nay?
Halloween 2, I'll say yay.
Okay.
But I think it's tremendously flawed.
Yeah.
But there is something, I don't know that I can enjoy a movie like that, but there's something I kind of enjoyed about it.
Okay.
Halloween, I don't want to say nay. I don't want to give the impression that it's that I hate it or it's a piece
now,
of shit.
Now, do you think in the beginning when you said you hated it, do you think that gives that impression?
Did I say I hated it?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
I know you might have been talking about when you saw it in 2007. I don't think you said, like, I fucking hate it now. But I think you said in 2007, I want to say you say you hated it.
Maybe I did in 2007. Yeah. If I gave the impression I hate it now,
You're really upping the stakes on F this movie.
I do not hate it. I appreciate what Rob Zombie tried to do. I just, for me, he wasn't successful.
I agree with that.
But I don't hate it. I hate the new Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't even hate that. Like, it's not even worth me getting feeling passionate one way or another about it. No, I don't hate anything.
No, you don't hate anything?
No, you know what? I love
movies. You need to be on this show all the time, because I hate a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of stuff. And maybe that would be a good balance.
There would.
I hate stuff, and you like it.
I'm the man, I couldn't think of anything. You know what? I hate me right now. I hate myself.
You're the Ben Lyons of F This Movie?
Yes, I'm the Ben Lyons.
Let me ask you this, Ben Lyons. What's one of the best movies ever made?
I'd have to go with I Am Legend.
I agree with you 100%, because I'm also the Ben Lyons of F This Movie. That's right, F This Movie, the podcast hosted by two Ben Lyons. Next week, I Am Legend.
And then we take pictures with celebrities.
Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Mike, for talking about Halloween. I know this wasn't easy for you.
No, thank you for having me, though. And I'm so sorry. I'm never coming back. So thanks. Thanks, everybody. It was a good run. And I'll tune in for further podcasts without me.
If you know the answer to this whole Halloween 2 ending debacle, please email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you just want to send an email begging Mike to stay on the show, to come back and talk about I Am Legend, as we all know he should do, fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
If only my mom knew how to send email. It's the only way that email's getting sent.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.